Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, what's happening? Tinky and Tierney coming in from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. Pretty stacked, pretty juiced today. LeBron and the Lakers still looking a little sluggish. MLB passing the buck. What else is new? Tiger off to a solid start early at the season's first major. A little golf out there in San Francisco. And we creep a little closer to a deadline that all football fans are paying attention to. Teek, what's happening, buddy? How you doing today?
All's good. That deadline is the opt-out deadline, BT. There's been about 60 or so guys that have opted out already. Might be a couple more as we pull up to the deadline. Some big names, but some of the ones that you kind of expect, the linemen who have other issues that might crop up that we just don't visibly see, or those that have family members and aren't willing to take this risk. But, yeah, we'll find out in about an hour what that full list looks like and how it impacts the National Football League.
Yeah, the biggest name, and he's still not sure what he's going to do. He's still mulling it last we checked it right before we came on the show. Tre'Davious White, the outstanding top flight shutdown superstar corner for the Bills. Mm-hmm. He's not sure what he's going to do. And what's interesting with that, aside, obviously, you know, Sam Darnold's got a vested interest. Cam Newton's got a vested interest. Tua and Ryan Fitzpatrick vested interest within the division here. But the entire AFC, because let's face it, the Bills, by many, are expected to take a logical step forward. They brought in Stephon Diggs. They were a playoff team a year ago, so we know that they're good. McDermott's been there a couple of years, so there's a culture. There's a playoff expectation. They've been there twice. I think that, you know, with somebody like White, though, contractually, so if he opts out, and it's not even worth guessing because it's either yes or no, and nobody really knows at this point. Doesn't show many cards except he kind of lit into those who were criticizing him, which is justified. You criticize a player for doing it, you're a clown. But I think that, like, with White, he's got a couple of years to go on his rookie deal. And, you know, for those who might not know this, if you sit out, your clock stops.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a serious roll of the dice for somebody. What do you think he can bank in a couple of years, free agent? 35, 40, 45?
Guaranteed, money? Yeah, of course. The guaranteed money, there's no doubt about it. Probably even more than that, BT.
Yeah.
You know, this is his
third
fifth year,
I think. Wait.
Well, he finished three. So this will be his fourth.
Three,
yep, this is his fourth
four,
year.
Five, yep.
So they've already picked up his fifth year option, which is set to be $10 million, BT. So think about this. If he opts out for this season, this is just a pure monetary conversation. Forget about the health implications or what may go into this decision for him. But from a monetary standpoint, the fourth year of his contract, and I'm looking at this right now, BT, pays him about $1.9 million or so. Cap number is about three because of the signing bonus, right? Uh-huh. So $1.9 million. That's what he's supposed to make this year. If he opts out, because I don't think he's high risk, he's going to make $150,000 of that. And then next year, he's going to make $1.9 minus that $150,000, and he doesn't get his fifth-year option until 2 years from now, right? There's a significant – I mean, now, obviously, the Bills, knowing how good of a player he is, they could just give him a contract extension early as opposed to making him play on that fourth, which will be his fifth year, obviously four playing years. But, I mean, if the Bills wanted to be callous and say – you opt out, we got you. Mm-hmm. They got him for another two seasons after this one without him getting to break the bank. So it's a big deal for him. There's a lot of considerations other than just what's health, at least from my perspective.
What do you think about this? You know, it's funny because for the most part, the overwhelming majority of people, knowing this season is going to be unlike anything we've ever seen.
Yeah.
It could be pushed back. It could be multiple interruptions. It could be a condensed season. Nobody knows what's in store. And if they tell you they do, they're lying. Nobody knows, right? So for the most part, the overwhelming majority of people understand that this is uncharted territory. And they're very understanding that there are decisions that need to be made for, you know, for one's health and for one's family. But I find it interesting. I want to. I'm asking the question. I'm not levying blame.
Mm-hmm.
But it's easy to sit here and say, well, you know, it's the right. Forget about White in general. You know, for an offensive lineman, that's good, but not necessarily paramount to the team's championship pursuit. And most fans are reasonable and sensible. Yeah, you know, listen, I get it. COVID-19 is a big deal. But how do you think that those fans would react if, say, and let's take the two teams where we live. What if Saquon Barkley, he's not good, what if Saquon Barkley opted out?
Yeah.
Or what if, you know, Sam Darnold opted out? Like, to me, once it impacts a player that you either really want to watch, need to win games, or need to watch to determine whether or not they're really what you thought they might be, that's where I think sensibility would get blurred.
That's right.
And they would feel vitriol.
And that's why, you know, and again, you're talking about the elite of the elite, the all pros and the influential offensive players in this game. Tre'Davious White is kind of that on the defensive side of the ball.
No kind of.
For the Bills. Yeah, he is that on the defensive side of the ball for the Bills. And that's why he's getting all this, I don't know, it's not hate, but people saying he's selfish, and that's what he responded to when he was talking about, this isn't about, you know, what you think about me. This is what I think about my life and my you know, the risks that I'm taking to play this game. But you're right, BT. We've been talking about some good players that have opted out. Dante Hightower and Patrick Chung for the New England Patriots. There's been a few across the league. Damian Williams with the Kansas City Chiefs. The names you all know, and you can just go find a list if you want to. But like, it hasn't been someone who is potentially going to win the MVP. You know what I mean? It hasn't been someone who might win the defensive MVP, like Aaron Donald or one of those type of players. It hasn't been that guy yet. And I think we hear it and we understand it and we accept it until it is one of those guys. And
that's
right now, it hasn't been one of those guys. So the league has been lucky in that regard. But I also think that guys that are in that position, Sam Darnold being one, to a lesser extent, Daniel Jones, because he's only coming off of his this is only his second year. He had 1 year and that's it. He's still got some time to prove himself. But I think a lot of those guys who are either trying to get those contracts or trying to prove themselves to their team and to their fan base, they are less likely to opt out, even if they know that there's a risk that could be affect them or their family downstream.
Yeah. I'm looking at White's Twitter account here, and it started a couple of days ago where he subtweeted somebody who was criticizing him for possibly doing it, right? You'll like this. He wrote, "Shame on you. This Tre'Davious is a high school class valedictorian and a two-time All-SEC academic honor roll student. Also, is what he's writing back to the person
I like
clowning
that.
Him. Yeah, I knew you would. I do, too. Also graduated in 3.5 years from LSU, but it don't matter. I'm going to be the one doing the hiring on my own damn boss," right?
Yeah.
And then he simmered down a little bit, or not simmered down, but he kind of let it go for a day or so. And then he wrote today, he says, "Crazy that me choosing my family's well-being over a game comes with so-called fans attacking and questioning me and saying I'm selfish. No, you guys are selfish for thinking that football is bigger than life. Oh, by the way, my girl's grandfather passed from COVID-19. You understand now."
Yeah. No, I think that's the bigger thing. Is that you don't know what's how this has affected somebody. And so you can't judge them on it. And it's their right to do this, BT. It's their right to back away from the game if it's not right for them this year. And I don't fault them at all. I mean, will you miss them if you're a Bills fan? Of course you will. Will you miss them if you're the Bills? Of course you will, because of the expectation that BT laid out. But I mean, this year is already so screwed up in so many different ways, and the coronavirus is just the latest that's impacting our sports world, and that's not going to change anytime soon. Whether or not Tre'Davious White opts out or he decides to play this year for the Buffalo Bills,
I'll tell you what though, if he does opt out, and we'll know 50 minutes, just about 51 minutes here. If he does opt out, as much as I've been, you know, dialed in, the Bills, no matter what, the Bills. If he doesn't play, I don't know if I can still pick him to win the AFC East.
Yeah.
I'm serious. That's how good this guy is.
Well, because, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago, or maybe even last week, BT, the importance of a cornerback, like a shutdown corner who's impactful and can afford you the ability to do so many different things defensively and rotate coverages, you know, to, you know, the strong side and keep this guy on the weak side with some one guy and just shut him down. It's different than a defensive end. It's different than a linebacker. A great cornerback like this can give you so many options. And now all of a sudden, if he's gone, and I don't want to knock whoever his backup is, but his backup's not as good as he is. And now you got to be more basic. And good teams take advantage of basic defenses. And I agree with you, BT. It changes the way that they can play defense. Now, are they still going to be good? Of course, because I think they're well coached. Their head coach is really effective and motivating. We know this. Their offense is only getting better. They're still going to be competitive. But that little extra edge, having one of the great players in the division, is no longer there.
No, I mean, how many blowout wins did they have last year? I'm looking at their schedule, and it weren't many. You know, they squeezed by the Jets in week one. They were down 16-0 in that game. They scored 17 unanswered, but they won 17-16. They won at Tennessee, which was obviously a quality win, but they won 14-7. They lost at the Browns by 3, 19-16.
Yeah.
They lost to the Ravens, 24-17. They lost to the Jets. Oh, they didn't play their starters. 13-6, that didn't matter. But their wins, like they beat the Washington team 24-9. You know, for a different team with a different offensive profile, even though Stephon Diggs will obviously help them out, and you would think that Josh Allen takes another step forward, but, you know, their offense is okay. Their defense is awesome. And if awesome becomes merely, you know, good or even very good, but there's still a drop off from awesome, and the offense doesn't take a rather large step forward, some of those 50-50 games that they won last year become losses.
Yep, that sounds like those big wins are hard fought. Man, it might have been a little ugly, but we got the W, becomes a, God, that, I mean, if we just had that play or that play or this guy playing, maybe we get a W out of that one. And that's how you go from, you know, 10-6 to, you know, 7-9. It changes when you don't win close games. The best teams, they always find ways to win close games. Even the best teams, the Kansas City Chiefs, had to do this over the last couple of years. They just find ways to win close games. Sometimes ones that they played horrible in, but need to find a way to win it. They do, because they have good talent everywhere on the field. At least they're trying to get, you know, accumulate good talent everywhere on the field. Now, the team that this obviously affects the most, BT, just based on the opt-outs that we've seen, is the New England Patriots. And we know what the circumstances are. They lose Tom Brady. He's going to have a down year. But actually signed Cam Newton. And even if he doesn't end up starting, he's going to push Jared Stidham, two Auburn guys, by the way, under center up there in New England. And they've just been named co-starters for the start of the season, whatever that means.
I like it. I do, too.
But then, then they have eight guys opt-out, including two two defensive stars for that team over the last half a decade or so. The Pats are the team that's suffering the most because their expectations have been riding a roller coaster. It's like, oh, they're down. They're not going to. Oh, wait, they got these guys. Oh, they're going to be good. Oh, now these guys are opting out. They're down again. Mm-hmm. They're on a roller coaster as far as expectation this offseason. I don't know if that's good or bad, but I know if there's one guy who can handle it, it's Bill Belichick.
But I still think it's bad, because think about this. There were legitimate deficiencies with this team a year ago, and even the year before, when the Chiefs really should have beaten them. I mean, you know, the Chiefs should have won that game. So you look at it and say, okay, well, where are we with the Pats? There was some uptick in buzz because of Cam Newton.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it was a little over the top, but for the most part, I thought people were measured in their assessment. If Cam's healthy, and you know, he'll add a little jolt, and et cetera, et cetera. But now you look at the defections, and you mix in what they already were a little vulnerable with statistically the past couple of years. I don't know how you frame this as anything other than a horrendous offseason for the Pats. Maybe to the point, their worst offseason in the history of Belichick.
I mean,
it's been
maybe.
There 20 years.
Maybe.
Think about this. Tom got hurt week one. It's like Tom got hurt during the offseason,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
week one, 08, whatever, 07 or 08, whatever it was. So it's not like they had, you know, Brady go down, you know, during training and it automatically impacted their offseason, their OTAs, and their training camp. Like, going to start a season, I know there's been other years where we prematurely said, this is it, Patriots are done. But, my God, just these defections and without Brady, and nobody knows if Cam is fully healthy. Nobody knows what Jarrett Stidham truly is. You know, it's been a rough offseason. Yeah, it's bad.
Well, I mean, it's always felt like the Pats have been ahead of it. It's almost like they anticipate bad news heading into off seasons, and they counter it, right? Oh, we're going to get hammered with this guy, whoever it may be, you know, looking for a major contract. So week, like, I don't know, 12, they trade the guy. You know what I mean? Yeah. Or whatever it is, midway through the year, they trade the guy. And they end up filling the void with some young player who steps up great with his opportunity, and they get draft picks behind that, and then they have 16 draft picks the next season. So the off seasons are always great for the New England Patriots, except for this one, because of the whole Tom Brady limbo. He left them in limbo for a long time, Tom Brady did, and ultimately signed free agent with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So, yeah, I think they're in a position this offseason that they've never been in before. Now, the question is, does it work out because Cam Newton maybe saves them?
But let me ask you this, Teek. You said that Brady left them in limbo.
Mm-hmm.
What would they have done differently at the quarterback
position? If they had known that Tom Brady was coming back?
If they knew for sure that he was bouncing, like, at the start of free, immediately, Tom's gone.
Yeah.
What would they have done differently?
I don't know.
Bridgewater?
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe. But they start, they're acting on it earlier. I mean, look how long they took.
They had to know. They're too smart.
Maybe.
They're not going to say, put it this way, even if they didn't fully know, and maybe there's no way of fully knowing until you know with something like that, but there's no way that they were, you know, they took the phone call. We read the story. He went to Kraft's house.
Yeah.
I
don't know, though.
Robert Kraft's masseuse is like, hey, Robert, Brady's at the door. Oh, I wonder what this could be. And then Brady says, I'm leaving. There is no way he or Belichick were totally blindsided.
Well,
no way.
I mean, they had to have assumed, but they, I mean, Tom didn't let him know. I'm positive he didn't tell him, I'm leaving.
I'm not saying that he did, but just based on his age, the dialogue around the team the last year or two, it's not like he's 25 years old and he retired like Andrew Luck.
Yeah, true. But but you knew that he was leaving or potentially leaving, and they did nothing, right? They didn't go seek other free agent quarterbacks. They went with their fourth round draft pick from Auburn, who nobody expected to be a star in the NFL.
Nobody expected Brady to be a star.
That's a good point.
Maybe they love Stidham.
Maybe.
You know?
Maybe they do.
Well, now we got about 40 minutes before we find out who's opting out. You know what? Now I'll put myself on the record. I actually think White's going to play. Total guess.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it's based on the finances that Tiki laid out, but we'll see. I mean, we don't know yet about Tre'Davious White for the Bills. We have some more time, and we'll get the opt-outs before the 4 Eastern deadline. Obviously, keep an eye on the PGA Championship. We'll let you know what Tiger's up to. MLB passing the buck. The Lakers just really nightly look sluggish and worrisome. We'll get to that. And while the player opt-outs are one thing, the NFL's handling the coaches entirely different in terms of what they're doing and the protocol for that or the expectations for that. Is it right? It's coming up next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
When you need auto parts fast, O'ReillyAuto.com is just a few clicks away. They offer convenient options for you to get your parts, and now you can choose to have them delivered right to your front door with free shipping on most orders over $35, or you can order them online at O'ReillyAuto.com and pick up for free at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. They'll even bring it out to you curbside. You can have your battery tested free of charge while you're there. And if your battery needs to be replaced, the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts can help you find the exact battery that fits your car and vehicle at a guaranteed low price. Like SuperStart batteries, exclusively at O'Reilly Auto Parts, designed to meet the electrical demands of today's vehicles. Get dependable power and performance from a SuperStart battery for your car, truck, motorcycle, lawnmower, boat, and more. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line on this Thursday here on Tiki and Tierney. It's 1-855-212-1212. 42-27, brought to you by Geico. 855-212-4CBS. Did you know that right now Geico offers an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. So we're keeping an eye on the first major of the season. And I got to be honest, horrendous job with TV. I mean, we can't even watch it conventionally until 4 Eastern, which is driving me nuts.
Yeah, not for another 30 minutes can we watch it.
I mean, I know it's on ESPN Plus, but I'm in my office. I want to have it on. It's crazy. It really is a disservice. Now, over the weekend, this will be sweet. We've got CBS coverage, obviously, back-to-back Saturday and Sunday. And on the East Coast here, it's going to run until 9 and 10 Eastern over the weekend. So we'll get some late night golf. I've always enjoyed that. I didn't really enjoy it that much when I lived out west for a couple of years, but I do like it when being back on the East Coast. Tiger started off well, got a birdie. He missed 9 straight fairways, I guess. I was just checking out. But he did get another bird. So he's got 3 bogeys and 2 birdies on the pardon me, 3 birdies, 2 bogeys on the day, minus 1. The leader is minus 5. There's 4 guys at minus 4, including Koepka, who's trying to make it back-to-back-to-back for the first time since the 1920s at the PGA Championship. So golf is happening, which is good by us,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it is. Sepp Tiger's scuffling here. We just got a little note, BT, from the opt-outs, the college opt-outs. Oh. Greg Rousseau, who is a defensive end from Miami, top-rated defensive end coming out. He's a redshirt freshman last year, so he's a redshirt sophomore this year. Looks like he is opting out. Now, there's been a few, but there's been a handful of big names. Rousseau, who I just mentioned, Micah Parsons, who we talked about yesterday from Penn State, Rashad Bateman, who's from Minnesota. He's a good wide receiver, and Ollie Caleb, and obviously Caleb Farley, who was the first to do so from Virginia Tech. So there's 4 first-rounders right there that have already opted out of this season, 2 from the ACC and 2 from the Big Ten. I get it. I mean, the uncertainty around college football is real, and the disjointed nature of the season is also very real, and these guys don't want to put themselves in a position to be compromised come the NFL draft and have their draft stock fall. And that's, I mean, if you fall out of the first round and you're a top 10 guy, that's serious money that's going to take you a long time to make up again.
Look at somebody like Dalvin Cook, right?
That's right.
We talk about Dalvin Cook not having made – was he second round, Dalvin?
Mm-hmm.
Second.
He was, which is why he's, you know, that's why he wants a, you know, a new contract. He's outplayed it. Yeah, I know he had 1 year that he was injured, but he's outplayed his contract. There's no question about it.
Yeah. But as a non-first round player, you know, I mean, they kind of have you anyway as a first round player with the fifth year option, the ability to tag you back to back if they wanted to, blah, blah, blah. I mean, the team has the hammer. They've got the complete leverage. But at least in the first round, you're getting a big fat check.
That's right. That's right. The big signing bonus.
I don't blame these kids.
I don't either. I don't blame them one bit. Now, as long as the book is already right on those guys, then they're okay. If it was a quarterback, this is why you won't see some of these quarterbacks. This is Justin Fields said this a couple of days ago, I believe. And he's like, look, I still have something to prove. And I think he's right. He wants to be the number one overall pick at quarterback. Now, it's going to take a Herculean, you know, college effort for him to jump Trevor Lawrence, who's been anointed the number one quarterback in his draft class, whenever that would have been, since he was a freshman. But, if you're Justin Fields, that's what you want, man. Take me number one.
Imagine, like, you know, you're in medical school and you've got the boards in a couple of months, law school, same deal. Imagine not preparing. Imagine not even opening a book or taking the courses. That's basically, this is their preparation for those board exams
that's the risk.
Propel them, the players, to the heights of the draft that they aspire to reach, much like a student wanting to get into the best medical school. So, that they can. I think that it's, I don't blame them. I'd probably advise my son to do the same thing, depending upon, what level he was playing, what his true economic upside was. If it was just like a passion for the game and, you play 4 years, you enter the real world and there was no illusions as to, what the ceiling of the athletic prowess is or would be, then you go play, But if there's millions on the table, see ya.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
You have to.
Gotta go. All right, let's get to this. It's very different here, the way the, you know, the opt-out here for Eastern deadline rapidly approaching. The way the NFL's handling this compared to how they're handling it for the coaches, who basically the NFL is leaving it up to each team, if I have this correct, where each team basically determines, you know, if a coach opts out, when they opt out, how that impacts salaries, what a future earnings, whatever it might be. It is interesting that there's not one uniform rule. I understand why there's not, but perceptually, you think this looks bad?
Yeah, I mean, of course it looks bad, BT, because a lot of assistant coaches are a little older. You know, let's face it, they're lifers. They've been around the game forever. And this isn't just the coaches, BT. This is the front office executives. This is scouts, who some of them have been on the road for years. I mean, hell, decades, right, some of these guys.
And oh, yeah.
They are dealt individually with by the teams, because the coaches and all these others that we're talking about as well aren't unionized. And to BT's point, why it's understandable, the NFL can't issue a blanket protocol for those guys, otherwise it would violate antitrust rules. And so they're kind of stuck pushing it off onto the teams. Now it's up to the teams now to do the right thing. And the problem, and I hate to be callous like this, is that fans perceptually, I don't even know if they know or care about some of these assistant coaches. I mean, your team, you do. Nationally, you don't.
It's true.
It's been one of the issues that's floated around assistant coaches for years. I remember this going back to my days. I'd look at some of my coaches, whether it was Jim Skipper my first year, or Gil Hammer who came after him, or
Gilhammer. Just sounds mean.
Yeah, Mike Gilhammer.
Was he a hard ass?
No, he was great. He was actually a DB coach I actually learned a lot about defense because he was my running back coach. And obviously Gerald Ingram, who was my running back coach when I was really in my prime. But these guys don't have protections from anything. The things that we talk about for players or even head coaches, they're just not there. They get shuttled around if there's not enough loyalty from the head coach. They get fired here, then the next year they're in California, and then after that they're in Texas, and you know, trying to hit the college circuit. It's a thankless job.
It's tough.
Often for assistant coaches. Yeah. If you get to the head coaching spot, you're fine because you got a guaranteed contract. It's not the same for assistant coaches, and they don't have a union to back them right now either.
Well, how does it work? I mean, I don't mean the high-profile DC or the up-and-coming OC who's going to eventually become a head coach that everybody knows about. You've got secondary coach, your running backs coach, a linebackers coach. What is it, two-year deals? I mean, I know it varies, but
none
of those guys have three-year deals, do they?
Not really.
Probably
unless
not.
Unless you've been, like, unless you're an integral part of the coaching staff. And so Bruce Arians is a perfect example. I'm sure Todd Bowles has a three-year deal because he was with Todd Bowles forever before, and then he left to become the Jets head coach. He got hired back when he's with Tampa, so I'm sure it mirrored Coach Arians' contract. I don't know that for sure, but that's what I would assume. I don't think Todd Bowles is getting fired from Bruce Arians' staff. But some guys are just, they're on a year-to-year basis, BT. They go around to these owners' meetings or whatever, they're these gatherings,
the conventions,
and it's like, hey, coach, how you doing? You know this guy, I know this guy. You know, hey, okay, you know, you looking for, you know, running back coach, looking for a wide receiver coach. It's thankless, man, and it's a grind that doesn't get recognized. So, I think that group is getting younger. So to bring this back full circle to COVID-19. I don't know if it's as perilous as it's often made out to be with the assistant coaches, but I know that there are a lot of them that are in that vulnerable age range who aren't protected in any way.
Okay. By the way, would this excite you? A little tweet-tweet? little tweet-tweet? Tiger Woods, birdie.
Nice.
He's down to -2. He's got 4 holes to go. All right, let's get the update for Mac. We'll see what's cooking there. We'll get to the Lakers a little bit later. Baseball passing the buck. Obviously, keep an eye on Tiger and the other big names at the PGA Championship, the first major of the season. But coming up here, you know, listen, we'll get to inbounds, out of bounds, and one of the unexpected stars in the bubble. As surprising as it is to watch him do what he's doing, does it elevate a team that most people don't really position as a top line NBA Finals winner contender? Does it elevate them to the line where they might currently be right now? Something's changing for a team, and we'll get into it. That's after Ack's update, and Ack is coming at you right now. LeBron's sitting out tonight. Little maintenance day, or is that groin really barking? Get into that coming up next hour. Lakers just, they don't look very good at all. They're not getting shooting. And LeBron's been okay. Davis has obviously had huge moments, as you and I chronicled the other day. A couple of the huge games. But I don't know. I mean, they're just not a team right now that looks very good. And, I'm going to save it really for next set. But LeBron postgame was like, well, you know, it's unique circumstances. And yeah, we know that. But that doesn't explain away the lethargic nature to his play and the overall erratic nature of his teammates. They don't look good, Teague.
No, they don't. And here's the question, though. Does it matter?
I think it does.
I can't muster mattering at this point. You know, if they get closer to the start of the postseason, so those last, whatever, two or three games that they play in the seeding round, and then maybe even in the first round, likely they're going to play the Grizzlies, unless the Pelicans, whoever. I don't know. I don't know how it's going to work out at the bottom of the Western Conference because there's so many teams vying for it. But whoever it is they play, if they don't, like, walk through them, that's when I'll start to get worried about this Lakers squad. Look, we'll talk about this in the next segment, BT, but their roster is just not capable.
That's the point.
Of doing what it needs to without AD. And LeBron having great offensive days.
I'm with you. We'll hit that next hour. MLB, what they're doing, and once again, look the other way, pass the buck. But time for a little inbounds, out of bounds. You ready, Teague?
Yep, let's get it.
Let's go.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now with Tiki and Tierney.
All right, inbounds, out of bounds here on the Tiki and Tierney Show, brought to you by New Track Phone Wireless. New unlimited talk and text smartphone plan starting at just $20 per month. No contract. We start. How about them Cowboys? Dallas Cowboys loaded up on offense. They drafted wideout C.D. Lamb. Want your CDs? to join Amari Cooper and Michael Gallup. How's that? Now, this week, Cooper detailed some lofty expectations for the receiving corps after adding Lamb.
Yeah, I think it was a great pickup. You know, you have to draft the best player on the board. Everybody understands that, and I think he's a great receiver. And I think, you know, with me and Michael Gallup going for 1,000 yards last season, I think the expectation is to have 3,000-yard receivers this year.
Wow. Okay, so as he said last year, both himself and Gallup both had over 1,000. Actually, both had over 1,100 yards, to be exact. In or out, it is realistic to believe Dallas can have three guys over 1,000 yards receiving. What do you got? In or out?
I mean, I'm going to say no, out of bounds. That's really hard to do. But if there's no tight end option, maybe you go three wide all the time. But I got to tell you, so I'm saying out of bounds. But if that does happen, then that means Dak is getting paid.
That's right.
Like, really paid. And I don't know if that's a good thing. So, just from a competitive roster building, you know, standpoint, is it realistic? Not really. But in today's pass happy NFL, anything could happen. If you have Ezekiel Elliott as your running back, I'm not sure that he's going to be happy if that happens.
That's the answer right there. You know, I wouldn't be too worried about Dak's contract if all three guys were over 1,000 yards. That probably bodes well for Dallas's offense, but I would be worried about the guy a couple of feet behind Dak Prescott who would be chirping over not getting fed. That would be Zeke. So I believe it's realistic in the NFL. I just don't believe it's realistic for the way this team is set up, you know, with an offensive line that still likes to grate you a little bit in terms of the run game. And you gave Zeke all the money. You know, he's not quite McCaffrey. You can make the case that Saquon's, you know, more explosive. Yeah. You could say, you know, Kamara's very interesting. There's a lot of good running backs, but Zeke is still absolutely a top five running back, and he's not about to get ignored. And the only way you get three guys over 1,000 would be to ignore a guy who's a superstar. So, out of bounds.
Are you in or are you out?
All right. Michael Porter was one of the most highly touted recruits coming out of high school before a serious back injury caused him to drop from a potential... He got hurt like 3 minutes into his first college game. Remember that? It was away.
Weren't you down there?
Well, I was down there. Yeah, I was
not at the game per se, but
No. But his brother played against St. John's.
Oh, that's right.
He got
that's
hurt
right.
the previous game.
That's right.
It was like the Disney where they're playing the NBA bubble. It was at the Disney, Mickey's home. So Porter got hurt. He was supposed to be the consensus first overall pick. He dropped down to 14 by the Nuggets. Now on Monday, and we talked about this, he poured in 37. He grabbed 12 rebounds. And he was also texting his head coach saying, stick with me, don't give up. Now, and I guess we're going to call him a little phenom, he added 30 and 15 last night, becoming just the third NBA rookie since 2000 with back-to-back 30-point double-doubles. Wow. In or out, the Nuggets are legit contenders to win the championship this year if Porter's fully healthy.
I mean, if the Lakers keep laying eggs like they are, I'm still going to say no. I'm going to say out of bounds to this one.
Now, you continue to sleep on the Nuggets.
I'm saying bounds. Only because of the path that they're going to have to go through. You know what I mean?
And no, I don't.
Whether it's the Lakers, who I do believe get right at some point, whether it's the Clippers, who are much better than they have been playing because they haven't even played a full strength yet. And maybe we're going to keep saying that until they get bounced in the postseason.
Yeah.
Houston is good.
I'll stop with
as
Houston.
Well, especially if Russell Westbrook and James Harden are playing like they're playing. I mean, are they legit contenders? Are they contenders? Yes. Legit for the title?
Uh-huh.
I'm going to say out of bounds.
I'm going to say inbounds here. Mm. I loved them last year. For some reason they don't get the respect they deserve. They don't get the respect that they deserve because their best player is, you know, slow. And, you know, he's no longer heavy, but he still has no muscle. You know, he's not jumping over you, Jokic. He's not, you know, he's just not this athletically, and you know, this mesmerizing, highlight-inducing star. He's old school. Well, I think Popovich kind of called him like Larry Bird, which we have to get to. Take it easy, Pop. Take it easy, buddy. So I think part of the issue, and we all love Murray and some of the other pieces, but, you know, they're frontline names, but they still aren't perceived as frontline talents, which is ridiculous. Jokic is a top 10 player, maybe top 5.
Yeah, but what is he? Is he a big?
Is he stretch?
What is he?
You know, he's whatever you need. What's Embiid?
Embiid? Embiid is a big dude.
Well, but then why is he playing on the perimeter launching threes half the time?
Because Ben Simmons is there and Ben Simmons can't. And when Ben Simmons went out last week or yesterday or 2 days ago, whenever it was, they are significantly better. I think it was last night, actually.
You've been saying this forever.
They are significantly – only because you watch them.
I'm saying you're right about that.
They're just better without Ben Simmons. And I don't want to, like, blame Ben Simmons. But, I mean, when Joel Embiid is out there by himself without his other, you know – 6'11", 6'10", point guard slash, you know, four. He dominates, man. He really does. We remember this conversation we had about a year ago. Who should the Phillies, the 76ers offense go through? Ben Simmons or Joel Embiid? Joel Embiid. You got a big that can dominate the paint like that. You let him feed him. So he's a big. Jokic is like a little bit of both.
I mean, he is a little bit of both, but, you know, he's got that up and under move and he's very deft with his footwork. He's not going to, like, crank it back and yoke on you, but he'll sidestep you to death and he'll get a little layup. He is fundamentally brilliant.
Yeah, frustrating as hell, I bet, to defend.
I'm sure. And here's the thing as we move on. My answer is obviously inbounds. Even without Porter's explosion, I still would have said inbounds. That's how much I respect their culture, their coach, their star, and their second best player.
20 points a game, Murray, who everybody raves about. He's averaging under 20 a game.
He's a kid.
I know he's a kid. So how could they not ready to win? Maybe next year?
I think they're ready. I do.
Are you in or are you out?
Again, the way it's framed, are they legit contenders?
Contenders means you are getting to the Western Conference Finals.
No.
Winning the finals. I don't think that's the case.
All right, we disagree. As baseball copes with a shortened season, what are the rules they implemented to help preserve arms and keep players safe here, Teague? As we know, cut games to 7 innings when teams have to play doubleheaders. Does mom and dad, do they bring the Gatorades and the tuna fish sandwiches as well for in between games?
I had a tent sitting all the way in the
I know you did.
In the edge.
I remember when you were doing that.
Get off my tent lawn.
Exactly. What was Tiki doing in that tent? Yesterday, the Marlins beat the Orioles 1-0.
Soda.
in the first half of their doubleheader as they pitched the ball well, whatever. Then they gave a couple of hits. So the question is this. Pitchers who throw 7-inning no-hitters this year should not be counted in the record books.
I'm going to say inbounds. Inbounds, BT. Inbounds. It's not traditional. The team or a sport that relies on tradition, you cannot have a one-season rule define somebody who had a great night. So I'm saying out of bounds. Should not be counted. Yes, inbounds should not be counted.
I'm going to keep this tight because I definitely want to get the last one in here. That's out of bounds. I mean, it's a rule. It's a rule. I mean, Mr.
Yeah,
Literals.
But it's not collectively bargained.
No, I understand that, but you know what, Teak? Listen, the Astros threw a no-hitter against the Yankees back in the day. Like, five guys pitched. I mean, there's rain-shortened perfect games. It is what it is. I mean, however long the game is, if you do not give up a hit, it's a no-hitter. I can see why people would challenge that. Trust me, I can see the other side. I get it. Those last six outs when the blood's pumping, the sweat beads. I get it. But I'm going to say inbounds.
Are you in or are you out?
Actually, I'm going to say out of bounds. You know what I mean.
Yeah,
you know
that's because the way the question's written.
That was my bad. It's out of bounds. You know where I stand.
Yeah, so and I said
Bryson DeChambeau, let's get to this. He pumped out a ton of weight, ballooned 50 pounds, all right? And he's driving the ball 20 yards longer than last year. Now his trainer, Greg Roskopf, if I believe is how you pronounce it, told ESPN that he understands why people would chastise or question if he's gaining it illegally, saying, quote, under normal circumstances, you'd say the only way somebody could make those changes is by taking steroids. But I can guarantee you that's not part of the process. It's just been part of the evolution of him being involved in this program, to end of the quote. In or out, it's unfair to DeChambeau to assume his growth is due to PEDs.
I'm going to say inbounds to that, BT. I know that people will look at it and say it's unnatural. But his trainer, Roskopf, however you say his name, we'll call him Greg. His trainer, Greg, made an interesting point. He said this started about 2 years ago, and they built this base of strength that he could build upon. And so when he ramped up during COVID because he wasn't doing anything other than lifting and drinking protein shakes, as we've heard, it just came on naturally.
Oh, so they knew COVID was going to hit us, so they planned
this. They didn't know that. It was just his body was prepped for it. And I'll give you the perfect example, BT. I retired in 07. When I tried to make a comeback in 2011, because my body was prepped for it, I put on about 15 or 20 pounds in about 5 or 6 weeks. And it was only because my body was ready to accept the pounding that I gave to it. I think it's fair.
I'm going to say
it is unfair.
I'm going to say that it's out of bounds. It is not unfair, but I don't believe he's doing steroids. But I do believe, given the cynical nature of society, given all the shortcuts an abundance of athletes have taken through the years, you name a sport, there's somebody who's cheated. I understand why somebody would view this through a cynical prism, but I do not believe that he's taking it.
I agree. Okay. By the way, he tees off in about 35 minutes or so.
Are we going to get it on TV or no?
Yes, finally.
Yeah, I know.
You got, what, 10 minutes?
There we got it.
Eight minutes before it's actually on television.
All right, go pipe some drives to DeChambeau. Coming up, LeBron and the Lakers haven't really been piping anybody. Supporting cast, a major issue. LeBron's groin is barking. What up with the Lake Show? They got some issues. Teak and I diagnose them next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.